Y'all come take us before the throne of grace.
Song, so y'all sing it with us. There's victory in Jesus this morning.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory.
Life. Built for me. story. Have some glad day. I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Seems like we were just here a couple. Yeah. Oh, we were just here a couple weeks ago, weren't we? We see a few more smiling faces in here this morning.
Good.
That looks good. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to take just a couple of minutes and introduce the members of the group. Anybody seeing Safe Haven for the first time? Raise your hand. Okay. We're going to do the introductions just for you guys, okay? And then we're going to get back to singing. On my far right is the guy who started Safe Haven and owns Safe Haven. And that's a really good thing, because beyond that, he's useless. Anyway, he's our boss. Would you make welcome this morning singing our tenor from Zebulon, North Carolina, Mr. Tim Daugherty. All the way from the big city of Castalia, North Carolina, would you make welcome this morning singing our lead, Mr. Jerry Winstead. The short fellow in the group with the low voice hails from Wake Forest, North Carolina. Would you make him welcome this morning, Mr. Mike Spence. My name is Wayne Coates, and I'm from Lumberton, North Carolina. And I sing whatever's left, which is not a lot with these guys. If you're happy to see Safe Haven this morning, let's give God a hand clap of praise. How many like good harmonica music? You come to the wrong place.
Jesus,
can't nobody now
do me like the Lord.
Can't nobody
do me like Jesus. He's my friend.
Well, can't nobody
do me like Jesus.
Can't nobody now
do me like the Lord.
Can't nobody
do me like Jesus.
Well, he healed my body.
Then he told me to run on.
He healed my body.
Then he told me to run on.
He healed my body.
Then he told me to run on. He's my friend.
Well, can't nobody
do me like Jesus.
Can't nobody now
do me like the Lord.
Can't nobody
do me like Jesus. He's my friend.
Can't Well, he saved my soul.
Put my name on the roll.
He saved my soul.
Put my name on the roll.
He saved my soul.
Put my name on the roll. He's my friend.
And then he filled me with the Holy Ghost.
Then he told me to run home. Then he told me to run on.
He filled me with the Holy Ghost.
Then he told me to run on. He's my friend.
Well, can't
nobody do me like Jesus.
Can't nobody now
do me like the Lord.
Can't nobody
do me like Jesus. He's my friend. Jesus,
ain't nobody now
do me like the Lord.
Ain't nobody
do me like Jesus. He's my friend. He's my friend.
I said now
he's my friend.
Don't you know that he's we what stains they broke all of my chains so that I could still go free, that I could still go free. Well, tell me what kind of man would reach down his hand and do this for
song fits me perfect.
Amen.
Because I was headed to a pit of hell.
Come on.
And we don't believe that God's omnipotent. He's everywhere. But 1,500 miles out in the ocean, I gave my life back to Christ.
Amen.
Because I wasn't living the way I was supposed to when I gave my life first time as a kid. I had to go back to him. But I promised him after that night that I would serve him in any way that he see fit for me. You see, folks, it's not just for us to be singing or the preacher to be preaching, but, you know, we're all supposed to share the word of God.
Yes.
We all should commit to the word of God.
Yes.
And share the word of God. You got loved ones today. I know you weren't saved.
Yes.
And you really don't know how to go about it because some of them are pretty hard. They don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
But we show love and compassion. The same way God would. Show them. See, when you bring Jesus along with you, nothing else can affect you. Amen?
Amen.
When you got Jesus with you, there's nothing can affect you. And they start. It'll start rubbing off. It may take a while. But you hang in there.
Yeah.
He's telling you to hang in there. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Because he loves me today.
Amen.
Yes. He loves you today.
Yes.
And he wants everybody that he can get to. Sad thing, everybody's not going to make it to heaven.
That's right.
People are going to deny him. And that's sad.
Yes. Amen.
But we need to reach the ones we can get to.
Amen.
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 Why did he go to Calvary? Why was his life's blood shed for me? Why like no man has ever done. There's just one reason I am the one.
He loves me. He loves me.
They took me in, they took my feet out of the miry clay, put on that rock, on the rock to stay.
Oh, what a relief it was
when God rescued me. He loosed his chains,
had me bound,
then he set me free, free, free. Now it's
cooling water. Cooling
water feels like
cooling water. Cooling water, cooling water from Grandma's way.
Oh, sleepless nights in so much pain. Couldn't see that sunshine, nothing but rain.
But God said,
weeping will endure for the night. For in the morning,
it will be all right. Oh, what a relief it was
when God rescued me. He loosed those chains
and me bound.
Yes, he did. Then he set me free, free, free. Now,
cooling water.
Yes, it is.
Cooling water
feels like
cooling water.
No, it is.
Cooling water from Grandma's well.
Well, I told y'all before, I remember that old pumping water. You get the water out, so clean and fresh. Now we got chemicals all in it and try to clean it when it was already clean to start with. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to do one more song and have the pastor come up and preach, but I want Wayne to do this song. We did it last time, and I really felt like God was moving. And I think it might go into the preaching this morning. I don't know. I haven't talked to the pastor, but I feel like somehow or another it's going to come. You know, folks, I've come way too far.
Yes.
Come way too far.
Yes.
To go back to the drinking.
Yes.
And the life that I lived.
Amen.
I gave it up for something better. There's a new wine.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
There's a new wine Amen. That you can taste yeah. this morning.
Yeah.
And it's free.
Yes. Yes.
You ain't got to go to the ABC store. Amen.
That's right.
I got too much to gain to lose. Are you with me this morning?
Hallelujah.
Too many miles behind me, too many trials are too, too many tears help me to remember there's just too much to gain to lose.
Listen,
I've crossed the hot burning desert, struggling to find the right way. Oh, but somewhere up ahead there is cool, clear water, and defeat is one word I just want you.
Too many sunsets lie behind the mountain. Too many.
Give him another hand. Between their music and Tim's testimony, they'll make my hot tears make my contact get messed up here and I won't be able to see. I'll have to have somebody come read the scripture for me. Yeah, as Tim says, him and I speak a lot together, and y'all didn't turn on the, I didn't. The monitor's not on up there. The Holy Spirit, one reason I don't usually tell him what I'm preaching on, because every time we've done ministry together, the Holy Spirit works out the songs and the music. And I figured if we planned it, we'd mess it up. Amen? Amen. This morning, if you will, take your Bibles and turn to a familiar passage. We've been preaching through the Gospel of John, and we're going to look this morning at John 3:16. It's one of the most well-known Bible verses. Even people that don't believe in God, don't come to church, most of the time they are familiar or have heard this verse sometime in their life. It's the verse that our grandmas teach us when we're little. It's the verses our babysitters, I was raised up with this verse, and I think we all know it. But I tell you something, I think we take it for granted. The reformer Martin Luther said once that it is the gospel in miniature. I've heard it by several older preachers say it is a gospel in a nutshell. And that's what Dr. Carson, my mentor, he used to always call it, the gospel in a nutshell. If you will, this morning I'm going to read John 3:16, and we're just going to jump in here. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Kind Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you that you revealed yourself to us through your word. But in these end times, you've revealed yourself to us through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The word become flesh, dwelt among us, so that we could see how far separated from God we were. Yet in your great love for us, Christ died while we were still sinners, that we might be reconciled to you. Lord, I pray for the next few minutes, in a world that's estranged from you, in a world that has redefined what love means, that just for the next few minutes we can look at three ways that you love us. That, Lord, we could see how your love was exchanged for grace and how that grace brings us back to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As they've just sung, and as Tim said, if you've ever experienced the grace of God and the love of God when they met at the cross, it's impossible to go back being who you were. in this text, we often just overlook the gospel because we think we know it. We think we know that God loves us. The world tells you God loves you, so he wants you to be happy. He wants you to be who he wants to be, you to be. But this is not what this text speaks of here. And this is a text that we all need to know and understand so that we could share it not only with our friends and family, but with the community and with everyone. If we would get out and share this more and people would come to understanding and the reality of God's love, I believe the churches would be so full that we'd have to have the radio on in the parking lot. Problem is, we talk about God, but we don't talk about how great his love was and how bad a shape that we were in. And here, when it says for, this little word for here means, here's the reason. Jesus has been talking to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus shows up. And in chapter 2, I preached this here last weekend at the Cowboy Church. Said that people was believing in Jesus, but Jesus was not believing in their belief in him. In other words, it says, why? He knew what man thought. He knew what was inside of man. When Nicodemus showed up, he gives all his credentials and comes up before Christ, and Christ says, but guess what? All that doesn't do you any good. You've got to be born again. Then Jesus explains to him his responsibility. He says, just as Moses in the wilderness held up the brass serpent on a pole that all who looked upon that serpent would live, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Jesus is talking about his death on the cross. In Numbers, when Moses held up the serpent, the people had rebelled against God. They had murmured against Moses. They had complained about God. God had done delivered them. They just won a battle. Everything's going good, and guess what? They didn't like the buffet. That was basically it. They didn't like what they had to eat. They didn't like what they had to drink. They didn't like where they was at. They complaining to God. God says, you think this is bad? Let me show you what happens when you don't like nothing I offer. And he sends fiery snakes. The snakes bite them. And with the venom, they're dying. People's dying everywhere. And they said, well, look, we know we got a problem here. We've rebelled against God. And so we need to repent. They repent. They ask Moses to intercede for them. God says, okay, I'll tell you what to do. Make a brass serpent. Put it on a pole. Hold it up and tell everybody that's been bitten, if they look at that brass serpent, they shall live. Now, I'd be wanting a doctor. How about y'all? Some anti-venom or something. But God says, look, you're dying, but I can save you. It's free. You just got to have faith. Look up. Now, the reason that serpent was brass is because going all the way back to what he's teaching in the tabernacle and setting up in the temple, brass is about God's judgment. You even see it in Revelation. When Jesus appears and it says his feet was like bronze instead of brass, I'm sorry, like bronze. It's about judgment. God was judging their sin, but he says, if you look by faith, you can see that I've got a cure for your judgment. And that's a type that's looking forward to what Jesus is telling us here in John 3:16. It says, for, here's the reason that you have to look at Christ lifted up on the cross. Here is the reason that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Verse 15. This word for ties this all together. He says, here's the reason for God so loved the world. Now, I know you've heard it, and I have too. This word so here, if you take the English word and you try to say, well, this is to the intensity that God loved us. But this word, actually, if you translate it to its fullness, it is in this manner, in this way. That's why I want to give you three ways this morning that God loves us. Three ways that God loves us. It says, for God loved us in this way or in this manner, or God loved the world. The word for world here is cosmos. It's used 78 times by John in this gospel, and I can't remember off the top of my head, but I think 48 times in his three letters. Every time he uses it, he's not talking about God's creation where we look out, everything's beautiful. Isn't it nice to see a sunny sky? Dry ground. I'd been praying for dry dirt. I got a bunch of buddies, and they, a lot of them is in the grading business or pouring concrete, doing different things. They need dry. It's beautiful, but this is not the creation or the world is talking about. This word here means a system associated with people estranged from God, who've rejected God. Paul says it this way, that God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The point being, the world was not worshiping God when he sent his son. The world was estranged from God. The world had gone its own way. Hey, you and I, as Tim was talking about a while ago, we had gone our own way from God. And guess what? God still loved you. Now, don't get that mixed up with the whole idea about, you know, you need to hate the sin and love the sinner. Hey, when you got sin on you, God can't love you. He's holy. He's got to separate you from the sin so he can bring you back to him. And it says here that for God so loved the world, here's the first way he loved you. He sacrificed his own son. It says here's the result of God's love. That he gave. This word is gave. That's a gift, right? He gave his only begotten son. John's already told us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in the beginning was the Word with God. That all things come into being through him, and everything that had been created was created through him, and there's nothing been created that was not created by him or through him. Colossians says that he holds all things together because all things have been created for him. This is his only begotten son. This word, they use all different things. He is unique. He is only. But only begotten means it's the only son of God that's ever been born the way Jesus Christ was. He was eternally generated without beginning, without end. And at the appointed time, God, by the Holy Spirit, had Jesus conceived in his mother. And God himself took on flesh. Christ become flesh so that he could be sacrificed in our place. All the way back to Abraham in the Old Testament, there was going to be a substitutional atonement or a sacrifice for our sins. God gave his only son. There's nobody else that you can be saved by or through. I don't care what nobody tells you. Salvation and religion and God is not like a wagon wheel. Heaven's not the hub and all the spokes don't get you there. Amen? You pull the rim off of a wagon wheel, what happens? The spokes fall out. Hey, when you take Jesus out of the equation, there is no other way to heaven. Now, the reason I call this a gospel in a nutshell is because when we talk about God's love, when we talk about this verse, we just kind of group it all together and we say it real fast. We say, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have eternal life. But we don't stop and think about how great that is. You know, when I was young, I probably have used this illustration before because I never forget things that my daddy taught me, especially things that got me a whooping or cost me money. Amen? I don't know. That's the way children used to be raised, right? My daddy used to give me allowance, right? With the allowance come responsibility. If I did my responsibilities, I got the allowance. If I didn't do them, I got a whipping. Well, we don't have to go into all the whipping, but I'd get the allowance. Now, I learned some things quick. First of all, I learned about taxation. Because when I got my dollar, I went to buy something for a dollar and didn't have enough money. Amen? I got to the Pope's Dime store there, and it didn't work out. But I learned something else. Later on, my daddy gave me my dollar one day, and I was real little, and he said, son, you want to buy something from me instead of going to town? I said, what is it? He said, I can't tell you, but I can tell you this. I will sell you something that you can show all your friends, and it's never been touched by the human hand or seen by the human eye. And I thought about it, and I said, well, this might be a pretty good idea if I could sell this for $2, right? So I gave my daddy my dollar, and he pulled out of his pocket and gave it to me. And when I opened my hand to him, it was a peanut. I said, Daddy, I have seen plenty of peanuts in your basket. He loved peanuts. He says, open it, and you'll see something that's never been seen before. It's the fruit. It's not the shell. See, when you open up John 3:16 and get down and see the fruit, you'll realize that God sacrificed his son because he loved us when we were sinners. That means he gave him. Let me tell you something about salvation. It is a free gift from God that no man may boast, but it's the most costly gift you'll ever receive for free. It cost Jesus the most precious thing he had, his life. God's Son. There was a holy unity of love between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that was broke when Christ died on the cross. For 3 days he laid in the grave, and by faith he had said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, knowing in 3 days that God would raise him, that he may not only have life but give life to all those who believe in him. So God loved us in this way, that he gave his most valuable possession so that we could be forgiven. It says, so that whoever, this means all the believing ones, anyone who believes in Jesus Christ can have eternal life. The reason God sent his son, the reason he gave his son freely, is so that we would not perish. This word means more than die. It means to be destroyed, to be in ruins. For what? For eternity. With it linked together here with eternal life, it's not annihilation. It's not that we just die, God punishes us, we disappear, we don't experience nothing else. We will spend eternity, if we've not accepted the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, separated from God, separated from all of life, punished and tortured for rebelling against God. With God is life, without God is no life. You'll be in outer darkness, alone, separated. God says in Ezekiel, we talked about how Jesus was using Ezekiel when he was talking to Nicodemus. Ezekiel 36. In Ezekiel 18, it says that God desires to see the death of none. It says, for I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares the Lord. Therefore, repent and live. He wants us to repent. He wants us to live. He doesn't want to see us go into eternal condemnation. But so the reason or the result of God's love is that he gave his son as a sacrifice. If we believe in him, here's the purpose of sending him, so that we don't spend eternity separated, but we have eternal life. Now, here's eternal life. Jesus says in John chapter 17, verse 3, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Guess what? Eternal life don't start when you get to heaven. Eternal life starts the day you get saved. The moment you get saved, you get regenerated. Something happens. That old hard heart of stone and that stiff neck that won't bow before God and listen to him, all that changes. He puts a heart of flesh in and he says, and I'll pour my spirit into you and then you'll be able to obey my laws and my statutes. Because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you, you've been regenerated, you've been reborn into a new person who can begin to experience a new quality of life. If you're unsaved, I don't care how much money you got, what kind of job you got, what house you live in, how good your kids are, your wife is, your husband is. I don't care how good things are on this earth. You'll still be longing and looking for something. You'll never make enough money, live in a big enough house, have enough cars. You can't do enough without Jesus Christ in your life because you got a hole that can't be filled because you're a dead man or a dead woman walking. But when you experience regeneration, you might not have all the things that everybody else has. You might not even have all the things that you think you deserve, but you'll have everything you need. And it is a new quality of life saying, I might not have this, but Jesus is enough. The easiest way I believe you can tell that you're saved is, do you need anything beside Jesus in your life? We might want some other stuff, but when we truly saved, our health might be declining. We might not understand what we're going to do tomorrow about a job. We might not understand what we can do about someone in our family, but we know that God is still in control. We know that God is still working in our lives, and God's fixing to surprise us by doing something that we weren't expecting. Because see, not only did he sacrifice his son, but he sent his son to save us. It says here in verse 17, see, we quit a lot of times and we don't flush out everything that is going on. We don't open up the shell and look at the peanut itself, what's inside. It says he did not send his son to judge the world, but he sent his son that the world might be saved through him. And then he says, look, this is the judgment. Verse 18. It says, he who believes in him is not judged. But he who does not believe in him has already been judged. When we trust in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. We are declared righteous by God. That's called positional salvation. God declares us righteous because Jesus is righteous. When we believe in him, guess what? You was already condemned. You was already sentenced to death. We've got a sinful nature. We don't have to be on this earth long at all as children before we start rebelling, not living God's way. We're sinners by nature. And guess what? You've been judged guilty. It's like one of your TV shows you watch where the jury passes a verdict on a defendant, and then the judge tells them, look, come back. Let me see when I got it in my calendar. Come back in 2 months, and I will sentence you. You'll start serving your time. We was already judged guilty of rejecting God's ways, and we was an enemy of God, alienated from God. We was trusting in a system called the world that thought that it could do things without God. That's what sin is, doing things our own way. We were sentenced to death. We just hadn't been took to jail yet. And it says, because of this, God loved us so much. Hey, before, Wayne, I pass the sentence on you or tell you to start, guess what? You can't pay your way out of this, and you ain't going to live long enough to do the time. So Jesus come to earth and paid the price for us. That's what he did. It's like the judge, and I know I got to hurry up, but it's like the king. He lived in a kingdom. I know you've heard this illustration. He said, look, we're going to have the perfect kingdom. Going to be no lying, cheating, stealing, and no adultery. He named off all these things. Well, evidently he wasn't going to have no people there, right? Must have just been him, right? Because if you put two people together, you're going to start having some sin, right? It just works that way. And he said, no stealing. Well, at the marketplace, they noticed that things got to missing, and they kept missing from the different vendors. And they was looking for them. The king says, look, we can't have this. So he put together a committee like all good churches do, and he sent the committee out. And he says, look, y'all need to find out who's committing these sins, who's stealing this stuff, who's shoplifting from these vendors, and let me know, because they need 13 lashes. I'll show the rest of the kingdom that I'm a just king. And that because I'm a just king, we'll put a stop to this. Be no more rebellion in my kingdom. So finally they come through the door and ask to come up to the king. They come up to the throne. The king is sitting there, and they bring this little person up. And she's got on a cape and a hood and been over. And he don't know if it's a man or woman. And they said, king, we found the person responsible here. What should we do? And he says, 13 lashes. They said, but king, you don't understand. She probably won't live through 13 lashes. He says, well, I'm a just king, and I've already stated the punishment. It must be carried out. They said, but king, you don't understand. And they pulled the hood back, and it was mother. They said, king, what must we do? And he says, 13 lashes, because I'm a just king. Then he took off his robe, come down off of his throne, wrapped his arms around his mama, turned his back to the whip, and he says, the king said 13 lashes. When we sin against God, we are guilty to be punished by eternal damnation. But Christ loved us so much that he came to this earth, climbed on a cross, and died the shameful guilty death that we deserve. Do you know why Jesus was stripped naked? Because of shame. Do you know why he bled? Because of our guilt. He not only took our guilt, he took our shame on the cross. When you are forgiven by God, it says right here, he didn't come to judge, he came to save you. Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says there's no condemnation for them who are in Jesus Christ. Guess what? Your guilt's gone, so is your shame. Have we all done things we shame of? We have, but God forgives them, and we have to forgive ourselves. You move on from your guilt, you move on from your shame, but you move on from your guilt and shame by not doing those things no more. Because you're so grateful for the forgiveness that you've had. He sent him to save us, not to judge us. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe in him has been judged already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the world loved the darkness rather than the light. This word rather is better interpreted more than. They loved the darkness more than they loved the light. And this tells us why. So that, or the result of loving the darkness, so that their deeds may not be exposed. This word exposed means to be rebuked. So they can't be told that they're doing wrong. I've got to close here, and I don't want to get on a soapbox about this, but do you know why we're passing so many laws about things that don't agree with the Bible? It's because sinful people don't want to be told that they're doing wrong. The Bible says yes, the Bible says no. Paul says, let our yes be yes and our no be no, and let our yes and no be yes in Jesus Christ. Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. When God speaks, because he created everything and it works within the rim of his reality, he knows what's best for us whether we believe it or not. Now, and John has already said that Jesus, the light come into the world, and his own people did not receive him. The Jews and the world in general didn't receive Jesus. But as many as receive him, to them he granted that they become children of God. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. There's not another one like him. He come, lived the life we should have lived, died the death we deserve, was buried, was raised, so we know that we can have forgiveness, that we can be declared righteous. And by believing in Jesus, we're not only forgiven, but we become children of God. We've got a new life, eternal life. We get to spend eternity with God from the day we get saved, on and on and on. And y'all know eternity means on and on until I run out of ons and ons, right? It only gets better. But when you say, I don't believe this, or I want God to make me happy, and you go passing laws and changing definitions so that nobody can tell you that you're doing wrong, these are the hard-hearted people that's already been judged. These are the people that we need to shine the light into their life of the gospel and let them know, look, it's not that you're a sinner. We're all sinners. If you want to know what we got in common, we've all sinned. You want to know how great God's love is? While we were sinners, Christ died for us. He demonstrated his love. He sacrificed his own son. It's a free gift, but it's not a cheap gift. God gave everything so that we could become his children. And when you become your children, I don't know about y'all, but I used to tell this, and it worked a lot better for my dad. It's never worked really good at my house with my kids and grandkids and my wife. But, you know, I used to say, look, when you live in the Thomas house, the house of Thomas, we're going to do things this way. Wayne, does that work for you? It didn't work for me either. But in God's world, if you're going to live in God's world with eternal life, you're going to live God's way. And God's not somebody that's just waiting to punish us. God is not somebody that's always angry. He's not angry. That's what this verse is about. God loves us so much. Peter says that he's not patient like we understand patience. He's patiently waiting. The only reason Christ hadn't returned and destroyed evil for good It's because he doesn't want to see other people perish. He's given the wicked time to repent. When we talk about the gospel and you talk about God, you need God or God is love, you need to tell them he loved you this much that Christ died for you. The most important thing we can tell somebody that is lost is that Christ died for them. I don't care what you've done. His grace is greater than your sin. He will forgive you and he will give you a new life. God sacrificed his son because he loved us while we was wicked. Says he, I take no pleasure in seeing the wicked perish. That's what he says in the Old Testament. I don't want to see it. I created you. I love you this much. I've sacrificed my son. I've gave you the best that I've got to offer so you'll know I'll love you. And if you can trust me and live life my way. And lastly, the third thing, God works to restore us. God works to restore the life that we've messed up. The life that he's given us to live. The one who does evil or practices evil here in verse 20. This is really practices worthless deeds. In other words, those things, they're not only evil, they're just worthless. They have no eternal value. They're no value to them, to God. They enjoy doing them. They think they're going to find happiness in the things of the world. He says that they love the darkness because they don't want anyone to rebuke them or they don't want to have their deeds, the things that they call just and right, they don't want them rebuked saying, no, that's wrong. Now, here's the flip side of this, because John makes it clear here just like Jesus did. There's only two kinds of people in the world. I've always said this. I don't care about the signs about what life matters and all. Look, it's the dignity of life. We're all created in the image of God. I don't care what color you are, what side of the tracks you was raised on. There's two kinds of people in the world when God looks down, saved and unsaved. Amen. These that are saved are spending eternity with God. These are not saved. God is offering them to accept Jesus as their Savior so that they don't experience eternal punishment and damnation. All he wants to do is move them back over here into his home so they can be his children. And here's what happens. He works with it. I think some people think, well, I got to go to church. I need to go get some new clothes. I got to go to church. I'll have to sit there and be real quiet. I'll have to be there every time the doors open. And we do want you in church, but let me tell you something about church. You can't be here every time the doors open. But you ought to be in church more than you're not in church. This morning, this is the greatest institution on the face of this earth this morning. Because when you come, it won't cause we set the time at 10 o'clock and not because we said Sunday. It's because God called his people together to worship him and learn something about him today and know that he's real and he exists. The church is the greatest place on earth and Jesus built it so we could gather together. Why do I go to church? Because Jesus built it for me. It's not something that I do. It's not something that you do. You know, I don't get all dressed up so everybody, I mean, I know my mama's happy I'm not living the life I used to, but it's not so mama can say, well, look at Wesley. He got a good heart. Ain't he a good boy? That's not why. Here's what you got to learn about the gospel. The third way that God loves us so much. Look what it says in verse 21. But he who practices the truth, and that truth is God's word. In other words, verse 36 is clear. We obey God. Are we saved? Yes. Are we still sinners? Yeah, we still have struggles. But we're trying to practice what God calls truth. And guess what? God is working with us. If we practice the truth, we come out in the light. You know why we go to Bible studies? You know why we go to church? You know why we like to hear gospel songs? It reorients us back to God's truth. It resets our broken compass. After all week running around in the business of life, all of a sudden we can set back. This is true north, and God's that way, and I'm going with him, and I got to get out of this and start getting back to this. It's like on your computer when all else fails, hit the reset button, right? Just restart it and start all over. That's what coming to church is about. It says, look, if we're going to practice the truth, we'll come into the light. That's in Jesus. That's the God's word. And that way our deeds may be manifested. And this here is a perfect participle, has been wrought in God. I always had trouble with that word, and I couldn't figure out what it was. It's just an archaic word of the past tense of work. In other words, worked. So wrought in God, but as a participle, here's what John is saying. The reason Tim and Safe Haven could sing them songs this morning and talk about their testimonies because God's been at work in their life. Nothing they done. You can buy a whole bunch of equipment, you can sing a lot of songs, but you can tell the difference when the Holy Spirit's dwelling in somebody and they lead in the ministry than you can somebody that's up putting on a performance. It's the difference between performing and ministry. And see, it's not just the group, and it's not just the preacher. Everyone here today has been called to the ministry. Amen. And that's the ministry of letting other people see what God's doing in your life. Guess what? I was broken, God's fixed me. Guess what? I still got some rough edges God's sanding off and working on. That is the works of God. I want to show off this week what God's doing in my life. What might that be? Might be a change of attitude. Might be something to do with your language. You know, the more and more we watch things on TV, I don't care if it's regular network TV at 8 o'clock. I can't believe the language gets worse and worse. Do you know the more we watch that stuff, the more we hear it, the more we hear it at stores and restaurants and places we go on the workplace, the easier it is for us just to find it acceptable. And before you know it, we're words that we used to spell, we're pronouncing them. Sometimes it might be our language. Sometimes it might be our anger. You know, sometimes we just, things are just so much pressure on us that we just lash out at the least little thing. Guess what? Whatever's going on in your life this morning, God wants to show you next week that he can help you live his way. And you say, well, that'll be good. My life will be better. That ain't why God's doing it. God's doing it so somebody else can see how much he can love them. God said this, I'm not working in your life. I'm paraphrasing. I'm not working in your life so everybody will think you're putting on a good performance. I'm working in your life so everybody know how great I am. This morning, there's only two ways to live, God's way or your way. Let us bow heads. If you live in life your way and you've never trusted God, you say, God, I know you exist, and you might even say, Lord, I want to do things your way, but you never, and Lord, I'm just a sinner undone. I know I'm not living your way. This morning I asked you, if you're in that predicament, all you have to do is simply say, Lord Jesus, I believe that God loved me so much that he sent you to this earth. He sent you here, and you died in my place, so that I could be forgiven. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me this morning and give me a new life. Take control of that life and help me live the rest of my life pleasing to you. Help me every day live your way. If you prayed that this morning, raise your hand. Amen. Amen. If you're here and you're saved and you've been saved a long time, I'll ask you this. Is God manifesting his work in your life? Is it anything in your life this morning you know God's not pleased with? Is it anything in your life that you know you won't be doing when you get to heaven? If you know that you wouldn't do this in heaven, it's not pleasing to God here on this earth. Whatever it is, it might be words, it might be something you're watching, something you're involved in, it might be an attitude you have. Whatever it is, you just say this morning, Lord, and you fill in the blank. Lord, forgive me and take this out of my life. Lord, I want you to help me next week be a witness for you. Help me next week to live the life that you saved me to live. Kind Father, we just thank you. And Lord, now as Safe Haven comes back to sing, Lord, I pray that our hearts, while they're soft, wouldn't leave here if it's anything in our life that needs to be changed. That, Lord, we would depend on you. We'd know that we're going to spend eternity in heaven with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Brother Thomas hit the nail on the head this morning.
Amen. Amen.
This morning, God's inviting you to join the family if you don't know him. If you don't know Jesus Christ, he's inviting you to join the family. And if you do know him this morning, you're covered by the blood. Yes. Not that you can go sin, but that you know right from wrong. Amen?
Amen.
And we got good news this morning. He lives.
Yes.
And because he lives,
yes,
you have that chance.
Sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Y'all to stand up. You've been sitting too long. I want you to stand up as Pastor Thomas comes up. I want one more time, I want to be able to hear you sing. If you believe that he lives this morning, amen. I want to be able to hear it up here because he does live.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
Yes.
And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll find life fine, oh Lord, with pain. And then as this gives way to victory,
you got victory this morning, shout amen.
I'll see the lights of glory, and I know he reigns.
Sing with me.
Because he lives,
I can face tomorrow. Because
y'all so much, Safe Haven, and thank everybody for being here, and I just hope you know that what makes life worth living is God working his works in your life. That's what he's talking about, of Christ being alive. And crossing over Jordan, that's looking at the last thing that we have to cross before all our hopes is realized. But that Jordan River is pointing forward to Jesus Christ. Because all our hope on this earth is filled when we are with Jesus. Walking with him, because guess what? We're on the way to heaven. We don't know when we're going to get there, but hey, it's going to be a party. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to let you go. I know it's been a long service, but I'm just glad we got to have service today with everybody here. Amen? The gospel in the nutshell is one of the most important gifts that you could ever give to anybody. So I'm going to ask you, if you already know it by heart, learn verse 17, because I bet a lot of people learn John 3:16, never learned verse 17. If you don't know it by heart, or you say, preacher, you don't know, I'm getting a little bit older and it's kind of hard for me to remember stuff. Let me tell you how I remember a lot of the stuff the Lord's taught me through my life. I wrote it down over and over and over and over, because when I find it to be true, I want to make sure I can share that with somebody else. Write John 3:16 and 17 on a piece of paper. Pull it out of your pocket. Open up that nutshell and just look at the fruit. About three times. I tell you, do it like this, 10, 2, and 4. Y'all remember Dr. Pepper? That's how you take a break. Pull that out of your pocket at 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, and 4 o'clock, and read it next week, every day. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Kind Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we ask that you would be with everyone here. I thank you for drawing us all together today. Lord, I feel like we've had revival. I praise you. I thank you. I know people have traveled from all over to be here this morning. And I thank you because the service would not have been complete without them. The Holy Spirit power living in each of us to draw us together, to bring us into the living room of worship before you this morning. We thank you for that. Now I ask that you reveal your plans to everyone here that you have for them for 2021. That you help them see the works that you are going to complete through them this year. Lord, guide, direct us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Haven't been taking up offering because of the COVID. I always forget to tell everybody, but that's the white buckets for your offerings. Thank y'all for coming. Amen.